contact with God. You're searching for the meaning of life by listening to Christ as He speaks to you in the Scriptures.
Do not be afraid. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Jesus is still the Lord of Lords, and He is the King of Kings, and He comes to us as the Eucharistic Lamb of God to take away our sins and the sins of the world.
Now, via the studios of the Catholic Resource Center, broadcasting from John Paul the Great Catholic University in San Diego, welcome to The Sacred Page with Dr. Michael Barber.
Welcome to another edition of The Sacred Page. I am Michael Barber, and it's so good to have you with us for another episode of our show. Today we have a very special guest, Rob Corzine, who's the Vice President of Programs and Development at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He's going to talk to us a little bit about his story. Rob came into the Catholic Church from a fundamentalist Baptist background, and he'll discuss the way the Bible really brought him into the Catholic Church and what we can do to help Catholics learn to read the Bible. The St. Paul Center is devoted to developing materials for lay Catholics as well as for priests and deacons for the purpose of educating them in God's Word and making it possible for them to share God's Word with others. We're also going to be talking to Derry Connolly at John Paul the Great Catholic University, and he's going to be talking about how he brings Scripture into business classes. And this will be, I think, a very fun conversation to have. How do you approach undergraduate students who are studying business with Sacred Scripture, and how do we bridge the teachings of Sacred Scripture with the needs of people today, young people today? But before we get to that, all that, I want to welcome Rob Corzine to the show. Rob, welcome aboard.
Good to be here.
So good to have you with us. Now, Rob, you came into the Catholic Church, as I mentioned at the start of the show, from a fundamentalist background. And I think the people here would love to hear your story. Could you share just a little bit about your journey into the church?
Yeah, absolutely. I was raised in a fairly small segment of Protestant fundamentalism, a denomination of about 3,000 congregations called the Baptist Bible Fellowship International. It was a group that broke away from the Southern Baptists because the Southern Baptists were too liberal.
Okay.
Or as we would put it, when the Southern Baptists began to succumb to creeping modernism. And my nurture in the faith was very much centered around the Bible, the whole Bible, at least we thought so, and nothing but the Bible, sola scriptura. And in many ways, it was a wonderful way to grow up. We were given sacred scripture as soon as we could talk and before we could read. I would come home from school every day, most typically I would find my mom at the dining room table with her Bible and her strong concordance and her notes spread out in front of her. Every Sunday morning, we would get up really early because us kids, my sister and I, would go with my dad to drive an old school bus around to the neighborhoods to pick up kids from families whose parents wanted them to go to church, but not enough to take them to church.
Oh, wow.
We were there every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening for a second service, every Wednesday evening Bible study. And usually myself and all the other kids in the church would spend another weeknight in the church gym playing and fellowshipping together while our parents were out knocking on doors and sitting in the living rooms of people who had just visited the church once. My whole sort of surround, my social life, everything you know, was around this tight-knit community, drawn from all around Detroit. But it was in many ways a wonderful setting to grow up in. And mine is a fairly typical story of late 20th century American kids. I was really fervent as a child, and then as a teenager, drifted a little bit until I found myself, having recently graduated from college, moving into what I call the Church of Rob. The Church of Rob was the faith of the Baptist Bible Fellowship and the practice of the University of Michigan. I think most of I would have described myself at the time in my Baptist terminology as backslidden, and a particularly ugly kind of backslidden, because it involved deep sins of presumption. I would tell myself when it came up occasionally, because the Holy Spirit never leaves you alone. There's always these nudges, and the sin of presumption mostly came out in this notion, well, I'm sort of backslidden now, but when I come back, I'll have a better testimony to share with people. And I was never a really awful kid, but I was really not being faithful to what I knew. And so I found myself doing what I would never have been doing otherwise, and that was dating a Catholic girl. A few months of dating, and she mentioned offhand one day, if we ever got married, you'd have to become Catholic. And I didn't laugh right out loud, but I did gently explain to her, no, if we were ever to get married, you'd have to get saved and become Christian. And this led to a series of discussions, and I'd had this upbringing that involved a lot of memorizing scripture. I had a lot of sacred scripture in my head, kind of disconnected, and this fundamentalist Protestant theology. So every time we would talk about it, or more technically argue about it, she'd end up crying, and I ended up explaining, so you see, your religion's just not biblical. Fortunately, some friends of mine that I had introduced her from the University of Michigan knew this great young Catholic apologist, and so they put the problem of this Rob guy in front of Gary Machuda.
Gary, sure, I know Gary.
Yeah, Gary was my sponsor coming into the church.
How about that? For our audience, Gary wrote a fantastic book on why Catholic Bibles are bigger. And he talks about the issue of the canon in that book. It's a fantastic book. I'm sorry. Little inside baseball there. Okay,
indeed.
Back to the story.
Behind my back, Gary hooked up my girlfriend with this big Ziploc bag full of Scott Hahn tapes. And so one weekend, we went on this camping trip, with me and my girlfriend and Scott Hahn on the tape player. And the main one was the conversion story that the famous Protestant minister becomes Catholic that St. Joseph Communications put out.
Mm-hmm.
And there I encountered for the first time questions I couldn't answer. And I realized I needed answers to those questions, because more importantly than that, I was just deeply convicted by the story. I was still sure Catholicism was wrong. I was sure that Scott Hahn had gone and done this crazy thing, this unbiblical, wrong thing by becoming Catholic. But it was impossible for me to listen to that story and not realize he'd done so for the right reasons. that he'd gone and done this crazy thing because that's what he believed Jesus wanted him to do. And I was just struck to the core that here I was with my true Protestant Baptist faith, and I wasn't practicing it. I wasn't doing what I knew to be right. And,
you know, in the Verbum Domini, which is the new document that Pope Benedict put out, here's this great line. He says, there's a close relationship between the testimony of Scripture and the self-attestation of God's Word and the witness given by the lives of believers. And he says one relates to the other. He says something like one implies and leads to the other. And I think that's what you're talking about here. The story that Dr. Hahn has just invites you, this man who gave it all up in order to follow the truth wherever it leads, really is a very powerful testimony that really leads people to Scripture itself. So there is this close relationship between the story of the lives of believers and the story we find in Sacred Scripture, the testimony of Sacred Scripture.
Absolutely. I didn't think he'd found the pearl of great price, but I right. knew that I wasn't willing to sell all I had and go and get it. And I
How
needed
to
change. And and I also needed to answer those questions because, you know, I was convinced that if I'd been doing what I knew to be doing, if I'd been going to church like I did when I was young, if I'd been reading my Bible, I could answer these questions, and I needed to go and find those answers. And and so I did exactly that. I went straight back to my church. I pulled out my Bible. I pulled out the only sort of grown-up Christian book on my shelf was C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
How about that?
And I started haunting the local Christian bookstore and just voraciously, you know, reading everything I could get my hands on. So I was reading lots of anti-Catholic books to get the answers to these questions. I was I started fairly soon meeting up at least once a week with Gary Machuda and like pounding, you know, those tough questions at him, and he kept giving me good answers, but also he kept feeding me more Scott Hahn tapes, and I got myself a copy of the Bible on tape. At the time, I was traveling all over the country, putting on training seminars for salespeople. That was my job. So I had lots of time in the car, lots of time in hotel rooms and airplanes to really, without neglecting my work, kind of devote all of my spare time to this study. And when I was in town in Detroit, I was started listening to the evangelical radio station WMUZ. If I had designed a program more, I don't think I could have designed a program in retrospect more suited to bringing me into the Catholic Church. Every one of those things was a big piece. The anti-Catholic literature was really important, key to my becoming Catholic. Because
wow.
I figured, you know,
why would that be? Yeah.
Well, here you have people who know enough about the subject to write a whole book on it, and so, you know, they would come up with these great reasons why, you know, the church is the whore of Babylon or the church adds to the Bible, and I had access to Catholics, so I would put in front of Gary, says, you know, the church says this, the Bible says that, so there, how do you answer that? And
right.
So often his answer would be the same. It's like, well, that's true. That's a really good, you know, biblical case. The problem is the church doesn't teach that. So it was really an important part, because like I had started with this conviction that I don't have the answers to these Catholic questions that Scott Hahn raises, but the answers are out there. I just have to go find them. And when I went to the people who should have the answers, all they had was a flaming torch in a field full of straw men.
I see.
And it sounded impressive if you didn't if you weren't hearing both sides, but I had
well,
access
see, and
to
this,
both
Rob,
sides.
Yeah, this has been my experience studying at Azusa Pacific University, at Fuller Theological Seminary, talking to my non-Catholic friends. Most of the disagreements that we have are based in misunderstanding. Fulton Sheen has that great line that there aren't 100 people in the United States that hate the Catholic Church, but there are thousands who hate what they think is the Catholic Church. That really has been true in my own dealings with non-Catholics. I heard so many just flatly false things about the Catholic Church from leading Protestant scholars, in fact. And it's disturbing to realize that so many people just have misinformation. All right, we're going to tell you a little bit about a CD we're going to be giving away here today. And then, Rob, we're going to talk a little bit about your work at the St. Paul Center, your conversion, and your work with the St. Paul Center. So if you want to get this free CD, this is something you might want to check out.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to The Sacred Page with Dr. Michael Barber. And happy feast day of Our Lady of the Rosary. Beloved in Christ, we are excited to announce our free CD today, the first CD out of our set titled The Venerable Beads, a Bible study on the Holy Rosary with Dr. Scott Hahn. You can get this free CD by calling 1-800-526-2151, 1-800-526-2151.
All right. Thanks so much, Johnny. And yeah, you might want to check out that free CD we're giving away. As always, we give away a free CD, and you can get more information about that free CD on our website, thesacredpage.com. All right. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about what happened next and how does the story end? I'm on the edge of my seat. Did you end up becoming Catholic?
A fairly long story, so I'll summarize a lot of it. But one of the there were two kind of key pieces. One, Gary introduced me in a really sly way to the fathers of the church. I had no idea that these writers existed, but he posed a question to me one day. We were at odds over the interpretation of some passage of Scripture, and he says, well, hypothetically, what if there were people who spoke the same language as Jesus and the apostles, who lived at the same time, who lived in the same culture, who learned from the apostles and ate what they did, played the same games, whom do you think would be more likely to rightly interpret the Scripture, you or that person? And and I knew there was a trap in there somewhere. And I'm like, well, that's not inspired. Only the Bible's inspired. He's like, yeah, that's right. Only the Bible's inspired. But who would be a better interpreter of the Bible? And I said, well, all Christians have been given the Holy Spirit, so I would be just as good an interpreter as they would. But as I was saying it, I knew I was lying. And I went back out to my car and on the way home, and I'm like, no, that's not true. Like, if there were believing Christians who had all of those advantages, they would be better interpreters of the Bible than me, and I should listen to what they have to say. And I had this vision. I mean, we had this vision of the early church as being kind of like our Baptist churches, except they met in homes, whereas we had our own church building. But I started reading the early church fathers, and oh my gosh, they were Catholics. And that was a huge sort of shaking experience for me. And then the other sort of big rock there, or big thing that got the stone rolling. I had to work through all of these issues, but for us, the central core issue is justification. How are you saved? How do you go from being the sinner you were born to be to being the sinner that you were born to being a Christian, to being a child of God? How is it that we're made right with God? And our understanding of that was centered in this understanding of the book of Romans. And mm-hmm. So, again, it was another set of Dr. Hahn's talks called Romanism in Romans, and I worked carefully through that a couple of times. and I couldn't find a way out of it, that rightly reading Romans, and in particular reading what Paul says in the New Testament in light of what Paul's quoting in the Old Testament, led to a completely different understanding of justification. And I knew at the end of that that I probably wasn't going to have to become Catholic, but I wasn't going to be able to stay Baptist.
Wow, and, how about that?
And sort of one by one, the my doctrinal objections went down the more I studied.
Well, let's just drill down a little bit here into some of this so our listeners can understand the backdrop. I mean, one of the things that non-Catholics will explain is that Paul in Romans teaches that you're saved by your faith and your faith alone, and not by your good works have nothing to do with your own salvation. Was this basically at the crux of some of the issues you were dealing with?
Yeah, not just that your good works have nothing to do with it, but your good works couldn't possibly, because you can't do any good works. We begin in this state of absolute total depravity, and God can look the other way, or as we would say, God can decide, because you make this act of faith, to look at you and not really see you, but just see Christ when he looks at you. But he's not able to take your total depravity and transform it into holiness. All he can do is legally exchange your sin for Christ's righteousness and choose to see you as righteous, even though you remain sinful.
And what passages helped you come to understand the Catholic perspective here?
Well, we drew that as an inference, just as Martin Luther did back in the early 16th century, from reading Romans chapter 3. And it really sounds, on the surface of it, like that's what Romans chapter 3 is saying. You know, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way, become unprofitable. There's no one that does good. No, not one. And he goes on in that way. So, I mean, that sounds like the Protestant version is correct. And then Dr. Hahn pointed out that wasn't just Paul coming off the top of his head. He was actually quoting from the Psalms, and in particular from Psalm 14. And so if you try to take that definition, or that understanding of Romans 3 and plug it back into Psalm 14, it made no sense at all. So if we were understanding Paul rightly, it would mean that Paul was wrenching a text out of context, that Paul was misusing the Old Testament.
And of course, it would also mean that Jesus himself wasn't holy, right?
Exactly.
No one is righteous. No one is righteous. No, not one.
Right. But
obviously, if there's room for one exception, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem, and I think Dr. Hunt does a great job of showing how when you keep reading Romans, you see later on, for example, in Romans chapter 9 and 10 and 11, Paul's talking about Israel and he's talking about the Gentiles, and he refers in particular to Jacob and Esau, and he says that Jacob was chosen by God before he had done anything good or evil, you know, and he basically implies that children can't do good or evil, and so you have to think to yourself there. So is Paul also, you know, Paul says no one is righteous, no, not one. They've all gone astray. So little children have gone astray, you know, in the womb. They've already turned away from God. Clearly, that's not what Paul is saying there. I think it's just helpful for our listeners to get a little bit of the backdrop here. All right, so why don't you continue?
My whole framework for how are we saved just came apart like a house of cards. We had this system we called the Roman Road that we would lead people, you know, how to get saved through quoting different verses in Romans. And it had never occurred to me that we did that by jumping around forward and backward in the book of Romans. Our thing made sense. We were using verses from the Bible, but we weren't getting Paul's argument at all. And so Dr. Hahn's set led to two really sort of insights about how to read the Bible as a whole. First, you have to read the New in light of the Old. When the New Testament quotes the Old Testament, you have to look it up and understand the larger context that the New Testament writer, and Paul especially, assumes that you know a lot of the Old Testament that we pretty much don't. We need to go back and do our homework. And then the other is right. that the New Testament writers are not just the field where we go and collect our material to go and cobble together our own theology. They are themselves the normative theologians, and so you have to follow their argument reproduce their thought, not just use bits and pieces here to put together your own system. That was just a paradigm shift. And mm-hmm. One thing after another, I eventually became convinced on saints and Mary and the sacraments and the Eucharist from this reading the Bible. I was coming to it all these Catholic conclusions until finally I had become convinced that the Church was right on nearly all of these things, but I still hadn't submitted myself to the authority of the Church. And it was actually a conversation I was telling people, well, I expect that maybe at some point in the future I will have to become Catholic in order to maintain my integrity. But it's a heady thing to be learning all of this wonderful new Catholic stuff, but not being personally invested. So I was teaching a Bible study. I was teaching a Bible study on Romans in my Baptist church.
Oh, my
and I
goodness.
Was bringing all of this great stuff, and they were eating it up, and they were loving it, and I just couldn't tell them where I was getting it. but eventually it was a conversation with Steve Ray. I had been going to this this group at his home, and near the end of this this series of meetings, he said, well, Janet and I are coming into the church this year, and I've been listening to you. You've obviously been reading this stuff even longer than we have. You've come to all of these Catholic conclusions. You're arguing the Catholic side in a lot of these discussions. We're coming into the church this year, and why aren't you?
Oh, my goodness.
And my glib little answer of, well, I still have, I haven't talked to my family about this. I haven't, I've still got some questions, some issues just stuck in my throat. I couldn't get them out because I realized I didn't really have a good answer. For why aren't I? After some more kind of prayer and a very difficult conversation with my mother and then with my grandparents, I ended up being received into the church in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the Feast of Pentecost, 1994.
That's a beautiful story there, Rob. And of course, it doesn't end there. Our task of conversion needs to the process of conversion, of course, continues. But that's a wonderful story, how you came into the Catholic Church. And I think it helps people understand that when you look carefully at Scripture, when you take a sort of objective view, and say, all right, what does the Bible really say here? Your story, like Dr. Hans and Steve Ray's and others, underscores the fact you guys didn't want the Catholic Church to end up having the strongest argument for its beliefs. But when you look at it very carefully and you really weigh the evidence, it really does point in the direction of our Catholic faith. And it's just such a beautiful thing to see people like yourself give it all up and come into the church and embrace the truth and follow the truth wherever it leads you. Now, Rob, these days you are involved with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. You're actually the vice president of program development there. Is that right? Is that the right title?
Indeed.
The vice president of programs and development there, yeah. And so you're working on developing Bible studies and materials for Catholics now to read the Bible. And you talked a little bit about your mom who would sit at the table with her concordance. Maybe some people out there are wondering what a concordance is, right? But she's sitting there doing Bible study. And as now you become Catholic and you go out there and you see how Catholics read the Bible, I think it must be dispiriting at times because so many Catholics really don't know where to begin with Bible study. And in many ways, we have much to learn from our non-Catholic Christian friends who pour themselves out into Bible study. So what I want to talk to you here about next, we're going to talk a little bit about that free CD we're giving away, also tell people how they can support our show here. But when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about how we can get Catholics excited about Scripture and about the programs that the St. Paul Center has been launching and getting underway there. So let's just continue down that road. But as I mentioned, we are giving away a free CD as we do every week, and you can learn more about it here in just a second. And then after we tell you about that free CD and how to support the show, we'll come back with Rob Corzine, and he'll tell you a little bit about his work at the St. Paul Center and all the things that he's been doing to help Catholics catch fire for their faith.
Listening to The Sacred Page with Dr. Michael Barber, an important part of the radio apostolate of the Catholic Resource Center. Producing quality programs like this one really requires the support and involvement of people like you. To find out more about how you can be a part of our work, please visit our website, thesacredpage.com, or go to catholicresourcecenter.org. To offer a question or comment on today's broadcast, dial toll-free 1-888-526-2151. That's toll-free 1-888-526-2151. Or if you'd like to get a copy of this week's free gift, you can also call us toll-free at 1-800-526-2151. That's 1-800-526-2151. Thanks for listening, and remember, you can hear a recording of this and every episode of our show at thesacredpage.com. And now, back to the program with your host, Professor of Theology and Scripture at John Paul the Great Catholic University, Dr. Michael Barber.
And welcome back to the show. I am Michael Barber, and we're broadcasting today from John Paul the Great Catholic University. It's a new school in sunny San Diego, California, and want to encourage you to check out our website, jpcatholic.com. We've got some great programs and Bible study. We have a great biblical theology master's degree program. You can learn Hebrew, you can learn Greek, and we're on the web. You can take classes on campus. You can also take classes online. You might want to check us out at jpcatholic.com. All right, we've been talking with Rob Corzine, who is the Vice President of Programs and Development at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. And Rob's been sharing his story about how he came into the Catholic Church. Now he's involved in teaching Catholics how to read the Bible. And Rob, it can be a bit of a challenge these days, can it?
But I think there's been a shift. Catholics, maybe even as recently as a generation ago, felt like Scripture was a Protestant thing. And not only was it dangerous to read it because, you know, we might get the wrong ideas, but we didn't really need it. We had the catechism and the magisterium. Scripture was an away game. We could just stick to our catechism. We had all the answers in the back of the book. There's a couple problems with that. One of the answers in the back of the book is read the book. And the popes have just... For more than 100 years now, have just been imploring Catholics to pick it up and read it for themselves, and offering indulgences and whatnot. But the difference, there's been a fundamental shift. Catholics now, I think, are still less biblically literate than they need to be, but now we're seeing this hunger amongst Catholics. They know that they don't know the Bible, that they need to know it better, and they're just eating up the new material.
There's no doubt about that. And working with the St. Paul Center, you can just see Catholics coming out of the woodwork to come to events and participate in conferences where they can learn more about the Bible. I do conferences regularly with Dr. Hahn and other associates of the St. Paul Center like Brant Petrie. And we'll have 1,000 people show up with their Bibles all marked up and they're ready to go, wearing and ready to go to learn more about sacred scripture. It's a beautiful thing. You guys are putting out these Bible study programs and getting them into the parishes. Can you tell us a little bit about the success of the programs you've been having and how people can learn more about them?
Absolutely. There are a couple of them. First, there are a lot of people who want to study on their own and are motivated, and the center has put up a number of free online Bible studies. To date, we've had almost 50,000 people register for those free online Bible studies from
That's
all
incredible.
Over the world.
Wow.
And some of the stories that we've gotten back from those have just been, you know, incredibly amazing. And they've gone places that we could never go. So on battlefields around the world, American soldiers are gathering around and doing Bible studies in prisons, in seminaries in Africa. Missionaries in East Siberia. We have a surprising number of students who are in Muslim countries where they're not even allowed legally to have Bibles, but they have internet access and they're doing Bible studies there.
Wow!
And so for people doing individual studies, that's a phenomenal resource. But there's something communal about sacred scripture. Sacred scripture is our family heirloom. And so the ideal is to gather around as a family, as a Catholic family, and read this together. And so we've got these this program called Journey Through Scripture, which takes these Bible studies and puts them with a live presenter and PowerPoint slides and student notes and everything you need to just out of the box put on a parish-based Bible study, and that's now one of the fastest-growing Bible study programs in the country. And we do the kind of Bible study that had such an impact on me, learning it from Dr. Hahn. We don't do just a study of Ephesians or a study of the Gospel of Matthew, however useful that is. We're doing these big thematic studies because one aspect we haven't talked about it is that sacred scripture is not just a home game for Catholics. The home of sacred scripture is the liturgy. The scripture was written for the liturgy. It talks about the liturgy. It's actualized in the Holy Eucharist. And so we want to read and study the Bible as the kind of thing it is. It's a liturgical document. So the old and the new together, the promises of the old fulfilled in the new and actualized in the liturgy. And so we do, probably our most popular one is called Genesis to Jesus. It looks at all of the covenants of salvation history, how the covenants
I know a little bit about
Old
that
Testament
program.
Are,
yeah.
It's a good, are fulfilled
it's a good
Bible
in the new. Program.
You know, so we look at the covenant with Adam and how Christ is the fulfillment of that, the covenant with Noah and with Abraham, the covenant with Moses.
So if people want to learn more, Rob, about how they can be part of that Bible study, what do they need to do?
There are a couple things. First of all, my colleague and my Matt Leonard and I go around and will teach you. We go all around the country. We will teach you how to put on a Bible study in your own parish. We'll give you the Bible study ourselves, and then we'll give you the Bible study materials. You can get details about how to bring us to your diocese either at salvationhistory.com, our website, or you can give us a call at 740-264-9535.
All right, that's wonderful. All right, well, Rob, thanks so much for sharing your story and talking about Catholic Bible study. Up next, we're going to be talking with Derry Connolly. And, Rob, I hope you'll stay on the line and interact a little bit with some of the things Derry's going to say. How do we bring
Absolutely.
Scripture into the classroom? That'll be up next. All right, we're giving away a free CD today, so if you're interested in getting a copy of this great CD of Dr. Scott Hahn talking about Mary, in particular the Rosary, on this Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, you can give us a call at 1-800-526-2151, 1-800-526-2151, or just go to our website, thesacredpage.com. All right, Derry Connolly, welcome to the show. So good to have you with us. We've been talking with Rob Corzine about the life-transforming power of Scripture, and I wanted to have you talk a little bit about what you do in the classroom with students. You teach business, but you bring the Bible into the classroom and a business classroom? How does the Bible have anything to say to business students? Surely there's nothing there. I'm just kidding.
There's just a huge amount to say in Scripture, and the cool thing is that students absolutely love Scripture, so I think in a business class, they'd be quite happy if you spent most of the class talking about Scripture. So in my classes, there are a couple of things I do. One of them is I take a ramble through Scripture where I take a couple of the passages which I find are very relevant in the students' lives, and generally a different section every single week. So we start out the first 15, 20 minutes of class reading Scripture and saying what that particular passage says to us. The other one I like doing with all of the students who come to JP Catholic is we go through the Book of Tobit.
Hmm.
And the Book of Tobit is, for those who haven't read it, it is the most fascinating story in the Old Testament, in the sense of, not that all the other stuff isn't great, but Tobit's a very interesting, complicated story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story that could be written in 2011 just as well as 2,000 years ago.
No doubt.
And I guess it does have a lot to say to people in the business world. And for people who don't know the story of the Book of Tobit, it's really a book on two people who are suffering incredible despair and both pray to the Lord and say, you know, beam me up, Scotty. life has got so miserable, there's absolutely no way things can get any better. And what's interesting is God sends the archangel Raphael to solve both problems in one fell swoop. And unknown to Tobit, when he hires the archangel to take his son to get some money, the big lesson for business is at the end when Tobit has to pay Raphael for taking his son and collecting all the money, he decides that what he did was so valuable, he wants to give 50% of the money that he made to Raphael as a salary, which I guess to business people says, yeah, you got to pay your employees fairly.
Hmm. And sometimes not just fairly, but sometimes giving them a little bit more than maybe even a bonus here, huh?
Yeah.
These guys. Yeah.
So I thought the 50% number was quite interesting in saying, hey, you know, if you've got a profit, then that 50% would be a good number to share with your employees.
That's beautiful. Yep. So tell us, how do students relate to the story when you're taking them through this story? I mean, every student that comes through JP Catholic already knows the Book of Tobit backwards and forwards, right? So, no, I'm just kidding.
Students, for some reason, absolutely love Tobit. They love the story. It's a story of romance. Tobiah, the son of Tobit, ends up marrying this woman whose first seven husbands died on their wedding night.
Mm-hmm.
So here is the son, Tobiah, and the archangel Raphael is telling him that he should marry this woman whose last seven husbands died. So it's sort of an interesting bit of intrigue. And at many Catholic weddings that you go to, one of the readings is the prayer of Tobiah with his new wife on their wedding night. Obviously, he's quite hopeful that he doesn't face what happened the 7 days who preceded him. But it's sort of interesting in the story how that on the journey, Raphael and Tobiah catch this fish. They go fishing, and there are three organs of the fish that they keep after they, take the fish out of the water. And one of them, one of the internals of the fish is burned in incense on the honeymoon night, which all the kids get a kick out of. It wouldn't seem to be the most romantic smelling incense, the smell of a fish interior, but it's what drives away the demon from the woman that he marries.
Rob, now, as a non-Catholic Christian, you didn't really come to the Book of Tobit very often, did you?
No, the Book of Tobit was not in my Bible as a Baptist.
So, as you came into the Catholic Church, what was your reaction? Now you've got seven new biblical books you've got to digest, right, and learn from and discover. What was your impression of the Book of Tobit when you came to it?
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful story, and I mean, a book of the Bible with fish guts and pet dogs. How could you not love it?
What's not to love, right? One of the great things about the Dead Sea Scrolls, of course, is that in the Dead Sea Scrolls we find, I believe, Hebrew copies. Well, I don't believe, I know. We found Hebrew copies of many of the books that non-Catholics and the ancient Jews, after the destruction of the temple, threw out of the Bible. And one of the reasons they threw these books out of the Bible was they said, well, we don't have any Hebrew copies of these books. It seems like these books were later forgeries. They don't have a basis in Hebrew. And actually find it, Hebrew translations of books like Sirach and find it remnants of books like Tobit, actually quite telling. It shows us that ancient Jews were reading these books and deriving spiritual, direction and wisdom from these books. Derry, when you read this book with your students in the class, how do you transition from the Bible to business, though? I mean, doesn't this seem like it's inappropriate in the world of academia to bring in a religious book into a classroom? Some people, I think, would say, well, wait a minute, that has no place in a business classroom. Well, what are you doing to these guys?
Yeah. I mean, when I look at the Book of Tobit and its relevance to business students, at the end of the story, when the archangel Raphael tells Tobit and his son Tobiah who he really is,
right,
he gives them what I would call infinite wisdom, and it's wisdom which is very relevant to the workplace, because the workplace is where people earn the money that they have to end up giving in alms.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to read these two lines, because to me they're the two top lines and they're most relevant to the business student. And Raphael says, do good and evil will not find its way to you. And then he goes on to say, prayer and fasting are good, but better than either is almsgiving accompanied by righteousness. And I think that's the key, the fact that it's very good to pray, it's very good to fast, but better than all of that is almsgiving and righteousness. And he said, this is the archangel Raphael, not me making this up. A little righteousness, a little almsgiving with righteousness is better than an abundance with wickedness. It is better to give alms than to store up gold. And for a business student, the whole challenge in life is, how on earth do you make money? And the angel Raphael tells you what to do with it.
Well said. All right, well, we're telling people about our CDs here that we're giving away for free. So I want to let you know a little bit more about that here in this promo. And we'll come back and talk just a little bit, wrap things up, talk a little bit more about Scripture in the classroom and how Catholics can do Scripture study.
Thank you again for tuning in to our radio show with Dr. Michael Barber on the Sacred Page. We are very pleased to announce a brand new online streaming platform, www.catholichd.com. That's www.catholichd.com, where you can stream live all of our videos online, with such as Dr. Scott Hahn, including Dr. Michael Barber. Please visit our website and sign up today.
Joe.com. And you can also find out more about our show here, of course, and a link over to St. Joe's website, St. Joseph's Communications website, at thesacredpage.com, where we have podcasts of every episode of the show. You can also find podcasts of the Sunday readings, so commentary in the Sunday readings, and a whole lot more. All right, so Dr. Connolly, as we've been discussing Scripture in the classroom, Rob, as we've been talking about trying to you know, bring the Bible to lay Catholics and show them how it really does have relevance for our lives. What parting words would you give to our listeners today, either one of you?
Go for it, Rob.
I think the it is literally insane. It is literally not conforming your mind to reality to ignore this great gift of wisdom and holiness that the Lord has given us in sacred scripture. And if the person you loved most in the world sent you a personal letter and you didn't read it, how would that make them feel? And it's both insane and you know, and unloving. We have this great treasure. We need to both treasure it, but also open it up and read it.
So fundamentally, my takeaway is that Scripture is the inspired Word of God. And if that statement is true, if it is indeed the inspired Word of God, then there's a huge burden on us. If we want to have that conversation with God, we've got to read His Word.
You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, in the sacred books, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to speak to His children. In sacred Scripture, it's Catechism number 104, in Scripture, God comes to speak to us. We can have a conversation with the Lord. And I think that's what I try to teach our students is, you know, we would all love to hear God speaking to us, right? But we can hear God speaking to us. We can hear his word quite clearly every time we open up sacred Scripture. The problem is sometimes Scripture is maybe a little bit difficult to understand. Sometimes we struggle to find the right time in our day to set aside time to read sacred Scripture. But if we just are willing to roll up our sleeves a little bit, God will come to us in His Word. And when He does so, He brings about great transformation. And St. Paul says that with Christ, we're able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. And as St. Jerome says, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So if we want to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think with Christ, we really need to pick up sacred Scripture and begin to learn about Him here. And I want to thank our guests today. I want to thank Rob Corzine from the St. Paul Center. Rob, you're doing such great work. I always look forward to seeing you out there at conferences when we travel around the country. And I want to encourage our listeners to check out those Bible studies that the St. Paul Center is putting out and all the various resources the St. Paul Center has available. The website for the St. Paul Center is salvationhistory.com. And we'll put up a link on the website, the sacred page with the podcast of this show, so people can easily navigate their, you know, the way over to your website. Dr. Connolly, I want to thank you for sharing a little bit from the Book of Tobit. I always enjoy sneaking into the back of your classroom and hearing you talk at the beginning of class about sacred Scripture to business students. And it's so important, I think, as a Catholic university that we do that, that we're a university, we're a school of higher learning. We put great focus on academics and academic excellence, but we always want to keep the focus on Christ, and certainly the two are complementary. Those two missions are complementary. All right. Well, we're just about out of time here, Rob. A little bit before, just before we fade out here, you talked a little bit about Genesis to Jesus, and you talked about some of the other Bible study programs. You also talked about the programs that are also available online. Do you want to tell our listeners just a little bit about the Letter and Spirit Journal that the St. Paul Center also puts out?
Absolutely. Our mission is twofold. We talked about biblical literacy for Catholic lay people, but the other side of it is biblical fluency for clergy and teachers, and the core of that outreach is this academic journal called Letter and Spirit. It comes out once a year with some of the top scripture scholars from around the world writing academically rigorous scholarship, but in a way that's completely accessible as well to sort of high-functioning lay people. And that is really some of the most exciting biblical scholarship that you'll find anywhere, and not just sort of abstruse, things that are oftentimes in scholarship. You'll find You'll find
it's not really overly technical. There aren't, it's not overly technical. You don't find untranslated Hebrew in these things, although the scholars are referring to Hebrew. Sometimes you have stuff in quotation marks, or I'm sorry, in parenthesis. So scholars can look at this and say, oh, yeah, I totally understand what they're doing. In fact, you have some of the top biblical scholars and theologians writing articles, and the journal has received tremendous attention from people. But you're right. I mean, it's easy for someone who has a little bit of background in Scripture to pick up that this journal and derive just so much insight from these great articles.
A lot of times you see in the broader world of academia people writing on such small questions that it seems like the only reason they're doing it is because nobody's written on that before. This journal is taking on the big, important questions that are not only academically interesting, but come down to where the rubber meets the road in the spiritual life. And so it's one of the things that we're most excited about is the way that we're seeing this outreach, not just at the parish level, but kind of up in the at the level of Catholic scholars. And a lot of our readers are actually evangelical scholars who are finding this exciting new content in a Catholic approach to sacred scripture.
I think we're definitely on the cusp of a new awakening in the Catholic world. Catholics are starting to study scripture at an amazing rate, like we really haven't seen before, even in the last 100 years. So many people beginning to take up God's word, learning sacred scripture so that they can share it with other people. We're seeing so many people like yourself, Dr. Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, so many people coming into the Catholic Church from non-Catholic Christian backgrounds and having a powerful impact for Christ in society by sharing God's word with others. I want to thank you once again, Rob Corzine of the St. Paul Center, Derry Connolly, John Paul the Great, Catholic University. If you want to learn more about what we've been talking about here today, check out the website, thesacredpage.com. I'm Michael Barber at John Paul the Great Catholic University in sunny San Diego, California. Remember, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Until next week, we'll see you again. May God bless you and your family.